Okay, good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We are in the fourth pasuk, Darisha Semer Ufishtim. We are discussing the art of giving people ahava, putting the wool, not just giving it to them, but that it should be on them. They should feel the love. We spoke about unconditional love. Yesterday we spoke about not feeling or giving over feelings of suspicion. Suspicious feelings are not a good way of making the person feel loved. When you have emunah in the person, when you believe in the person's goodness, when you believe in the person's abilities, it doesn't mean that you're ignorant of their faults. It doesn't mean that you don't understand that they may have issues. But your connection to them needs to be with emunah. You don't have to be tamim. The word tamim means simple. Pasuk says, tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elohecha. You have to be simple with Hashem. Close your eyes and do what He says. When it comes to people, though, you can't be so simple. You have to be awake. You have to know what's going on. We don't mean to live in a world of illusion that your children or your friends are perfect. That's not what we mean when we say to have emunah in people, not to suspect them. It means that the way you look at them and the way you talk to them is a way where you show confidence and you're able to locate their capabilities, that they have the power and the ability to be and become something great despite their failings. Today we're going to go to a different example. One of the ways a person is able to land love on someone else is when they give them kavod, when they give them respect. Now, giving respect is in itself an art. It's not as simple as just giving someone a compliment. Giving compliments in the right time, in the right situation, well thought out, is a very beautiful way in general of a relationship, and it also makes the person feel loved. Compliments should be on something real about the person. For example, if you tell someone, I love your car, it might feel good, but really it's not a compliment that shows ahava, because the car is not him. He might feel good that you gave him a compliment, but that's not a compliment that makes him feel loved by you. A person says, I love your shirt. I love your watch. All things that are external are very much enjoyed by the recipient. And maybe there's a place for that in the right situation. But when we speak about compliments, we don't talk about giving compliments on possessions. At least not external ones. The compliments we're talking about is about the person. I see how dedicated you are to this project. I see how selfless you are with your brothers. I see your commitment. I see your kindness. I see your wisdom. These and many others like them, whether they're describing the character of the person or they're describing something they actually did, is going to the core of who they are. It's not about what they own. It's about you. When a person gives someone a compliment about themselves, it means they were able to see the good in them. And they appreciate it. And in return, the person feels the ahava that comes with such appreciation. Because like we mentioned yesterday, when you see good in somebody, it's usually because you want to see the good. And the reason why you want to see the good is because you appreciate and love that person. People that we don't like, we generally don't see the good. So automatically, when I give someone a compliment about something real that they are or that they do, is a very big sign from the recipient that there's real ahava over him. One has to be careful not to give compliments just to flatter the person. Those compliments can very easily be counterproductive. If you're just trying to give him a compliment because you heard the class, and he feels, or she feels, there's something not genuine about the compliment, it will come back to hurt the person. Because it shows, actually, a little disrespect. It shows that you had to work hard to make someone feel good, which the message basically is that he's not so good. If I have to work hard to make you feel good, that means I don't think you're so good. So I need to give you a little boost. That means I don't think highly of you. Interesting. Here I am giving a guy a compliment. But in the end, he's understanding it that I'm a hazikes, that I'm a miskin. Why are they fabricating compliments here? What do they think is wrong with me? Are they trying to build me up or something? It's a very fine line. When you give someone a compliment and they feel or understand that you're trying to butter them up. Either they're worried you want something from them that you want, so you're trying to get that out of them, or they feel you're on some project to uplift them. Either one is not what we're talking about. We're talking about genuine praise when it's appropriate. You got to be up. You have to be aware. It has to be more off the cuff. It can't be a paper you're reading from. Let me tell you what I think of you. Hold on. Let me read that. So obviously nobody's reading the card off, but very often if you're not genuine, that's how it feels. It has to be off the cuff, genuine, not planned. It's catching people doing something special and pointing it out on the spot. The more it is off the cuff, the more it is part of the situation that you're in, the more genuine it is and the more genuine it comes out. When you come home and all of a sudden you say some random compliment that has nothing to do with the moment, it's a little suspicious. No, I just wanted to tell you that you, like, what does that have to do with anything? So you have to be smart. You got to be strategic. Complimenting people needs to happen in real life. You don't have to comment on the spot. Comment an hour later. You could say, by the way, I noticed an hour ago how you were playing with your brother. That was very special how you gave him that toy. Very, very, I know it was hard to do that. Beautiful, great. Compliments for younger, older people, it's all the same. Everyone loves to hear a compliment on any level, the truth is. But if you want to build ahava, it's got to be genuine. Even fake compliments, people could feel good about. But the one that builds real love is something that's about them and something that feels genuine. So those are the things that one has to be aware of. There are many, many opportunities. They don't have to be big things. But you have to be always aware of when that moment is, because it really can't be planned. One of the great ways of giving someone kavod is by valuing their opinion. Telling someone that they're very clever or wise doesn't come close to asking their opinion on a certain matter. Asking someone's opinion is not merely a way of finding information in another person's mind. Asking opinions is a sign of respect. It's a sign that you're someone that I admire, I respect, and therefore I want to know what you think. One of the great ways of showing someone kavod is to ask them what they think about any important matter. Now, this is a very delicate matter. I'm a father, I'm a mother, I'm the employer, I'm the rabbi, I'm the teacher. I have a certain direction that I need to go, that I need to take others with me. We need to do A, or we don't want to do B, whatever it might be. As a leader, you're supposed to have some plan and some clarity. You don't always know everything, but you're supposed to figure out what you're supposed to be doing, whether from yourself or you get advice from others. A father, a mother, a rabbi and teacher is not meant to be advised by the people they're leading. That's not a good formula. If you need to make a democratic decision in your home, every time something important comes up, let's take a vote, guys. What should we do? We're voting here. This house, we vote. Majority wins. That is a disaster. Democracy doesn't work. Not in real leadership. In real leadership, there's a melech. There's a king. A king is not democratic. A king decides, and a king expects others to follow. That's the way Hashem is with us. Hashem is not our president. He is our melech. Very big difference. We don't say, Hashem, you're the nasi. You're not the nasi. Hashem is not our president. A president is chosen by the people, and they basically control all of his actions, more or less. He needs them, and therefore he's always trying to do what they think is good. That's the kind of leadership we're used to in the Western world. Yeah, people that seem like they're leading, but in reality, a lot of what they do has to do with the people and what the people want. A melech, a king, is not like that. A king doesn't take votes. A king leads by what he thinks is best for the people. Now, of course, if you're a king and you take advantage of the people, you don't care about them, you care about yourself. So you could be a very terrible person and you can make people's lives miserable. But a king who has real care for the people he's leading, he very much cares for them and wants them to be successful and wants them to be happy. Such a person becomes a leader for the people. A melech. Hashem is our king. He doesn't ask us for our opinion on any given matter. He leads us with clarity. Every father has to lead with clarity. A father, a mother, melech. Beautifully said. Chachamim tell us that a king who forgives his kavod, he says, no, I don't need the kavod of a melech. I want to be treated like a regular guy. He cannot do it. He cannot forego of his honor, because his honor is not for him. His honor is for the people's benefit. By him being an honorable person, they are able to be influenced by him and to follow him, which is his job. So if he says, I don't want honor, so what does that mean? The people need you. And the only way you can help them is that they honor you. So in essence, you're saying, I'm not a melech, which is a sheker, it's a lie. So a father in the house is a melech. A mother has to be a malkah. A rabbi has to be a melech. Again, the wrong father, the wrong mother, the wrong rabbi, the wrong leader is a terrible melech, because they will abuse their office, their authority. Terrible. But if you actually care for the people that you're leading, there is no greater way of leadership than a melech. A melech leads. A melech makes decisions. He doesn't wait for people to vote. Very often people are weak, and their vote is coming out of their weaknesses. Very often people are ignorant, so their vote is ignorant. Very often people have a lack of big picture. A person who's not a melech only sees one side of the story, and he votes based on that side. But the melech is able to see everything together. So everything that he's leading by, he's seeing a bigger picture. How can one take a vote when he only sees a little bit? So there are many reasons why voting doesn't count. Democracy in leadership is not the way of success. It may be the only way in the reality that we live in the world, because a king is very dangerous when he's not a king that cares for the people, which is normally what's going on. So therefore, democracy may be the only choice that we have. It's the lesser of the evils. But in a perfect world, a melech is the way for a country and for people to be matzliach. And again, we're not looking to change the democratic system here in this country. We're talking about our homes, and we're talking about the important relationships that we have. A melech leads. A melech is not scared of what the people think. A melech is concerned about what the people think. He's concerned about what's good for them. And sometimes he makes hard decisions. A father has to make some difficult choices for his family, not so popular at the time. A father who is unwilling to make difficult choices is not a father. He's not leading. He's not taking his family from the front and leading them to the right place. So it says in the famous Gemara, in Masechet Sota, that talks about the days before Mashiach, says that Pene Hador Kifne Akelet, it says that the face of the generation, like in our time, the face of the generation is the face of a dog. That means if you had to put some sort of iconic figure to represent the generation, the mascot of our generation, says the Gemara, is a dog. Can't find a more beautiful animal, maybe a lion, a tiger, an eagle. The dog is not such a great way of describing a generation. What does that mean? That the face of the generation is best described by the picture of a dog. So they explain beautifully that a dog, you'll see them very often being walked by the owner. And the owner has a leash and they're connected to the dog. And very often when you see a person walking his dog, the dog's in the front. The dog's not in the back. He's in the front. And he's leading the guy in the back. But in reality, of course, the dog is not leading. It's the person in the back that's leading the dog who's in the front. So the world of democracy is exactly the face of a dog. You have people in the front that look like they're leading others that are behind them. But in reality, the people behind them are the ones holding the leash and telling them where to go. This is the reality of democracy. So therefore, asking your children advice, asking your students advice, seems to be improper, not appropriate. If you're a melech, how can you ask advice? It's a very delicate issue. And you have to know that both can coexist. When we say you need to listen to people's opinions, that makes you a good melech, to hear what people have to say. That doesn't make you any less of a king. When we talk about a melech, it means when you make the decision has to be yours. You may hear what they have to say. You may want to ask them what they feel because A, it might help you. And B, it's a sign of showing them respect, even if you already know what to do. And if they don't say the right thing, you're a melech. You're still going to do what you have to do. It's not a contradiction to ask people for advice and to be decisive. It's not a contradiction. You'd be doing yourself a favor and them a favor by including them in decisions, by talking and hearing them out. But in the end, there is a decision maker here. And you're not going to follow what they say if you don't think that's what's good for them. He's asking, is that counterproductive? If I ask him for advice, and then I don't do what he says. So let's be very clear. When I ask someone for advice, it means I want to hear their opinion on the matter. It doesn't mean that I crown them the king. It means I'd love to hear what you have to say. Asking someone for advice, A, helps you hear a possible other side. So it's not for sure you're not going to follow what he says. You may actually hear something that you didn't think about. He may actually say what you thought also. And in the interim, you're building the person's kavod. You're showing the person that you appreciate his wisdom. Greater than telling him how wise he is actually asking him his opinion. That's a tremendous show of honor. So don't make a mistake that if I ask someone's opinion, it means that I am taking it all the way. That's called ignorance. I'm not ignorant. I like to hear what you think. This way I can understand better what we need to do. So it is delicate, but it's very clear. Decisions you have to make. Asking for advice or asking for opinions in the right time, in the right situation. I'm not saying it's right for every situation. Not always you ask someone for their opinion, and sometimes they're not capable of sharing their opinion. But when it's appropriate and it works, it's a beautiful conversation to have. And the people can know that their opinion matters, but at the same time, they know, you don't have to say it, but they know there's a melech. Very comfortable to know that there's somebody here taking responsibility for us, that's leading us. One of the great examples in the Torah, it might be the greatest example for such behavior, there he goes. One of the great examples in the Torah, perhaps the greatest example of such behavior by great people to an extreme. Listen to this. Yaakov Avinu is living by Lavan for many years, too long, living by such a corrupt person, away from his parents, away from Eretz Yisrael. Of course, he ran away from Esav years ago. Pasuk says, Vayomer Adonai el Yaakov. Hashem himself spoke to Yaakov Avinu and he told him, Shuv el Eretz Avotecha ul Molatecha. Go back to the land of Israel. Go back to your family. And I will be with you. How beautiful is that? How many reasons does Yaakov Avinu have to go back to Eretz Israel? Number one, living in Eretz Israel is a mitzvah. Number two, he's going back to his parents. Number three, his parents are tzaddikim and tzaddikot. Kibud Avaim. Number four, get away from Lavan. Not so good to live around Rasha'im. He has plenty of reason to go back. And now God told him, go and I will be with you. Pasuk says, Vayishlach Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu, he sends and he calls Rachel and Leah. He calls his wives after such a prophecy that God spoke them. Vayomer lahen, and he says to them, Ro'e anochi et pene avichen. I see your father's face. That's Lavan. Ki enenu elai kitmol shel shom. I see it's not like it used to be. I see a sour-faced man. I see he has something out for me. Ve'lohe avi haya imadi. Meaning, I didn't do anything wrong to him. If I was successful, it's because God was with me. Ve'atena yedaten, he says to his wife, and you know, ki bechol kohi avati et avichen. I work for your father with my full strength. Va'avichen hetelvi. And your father, he mocked me continuously, cheating me, not keeping his word. Ve'ahlif et maskurti aseret monim. He kept changing the wages. We had deals. He broke them many, many times. Ve'lo netano Elohim lehara imadi. If it was up to Lavan, who knows where we would be today. But Hashem protected me from him. You know that.
Yes.
And then he says, Vayomer Eli. Hashem spoke to me. And he told me, Ata, now, Kum tse min ha'aretz hazot. Get out of this land. Veshuv el eretz molatecha. And go back to your homeland. This conversation is very hard to understand. Hashem just told you, I want you to go back home. It's a commandment from God Himself. What would you do if God commanded you to go do something that involves you and your family? What do? You go home?
We have the schedule.
So let's go. Get the luggage.
Out of here.
Where are we going? I'll tell you later. Just get the luggage. Let's go. We gotta go. People are asking you, stop asking now. You don't trust me. And when you tell them, what do you say? Say, listen, God spoke to me. Last night, He told me, we need to leave. And He promised to be with us. You're talking about Yaakov Avinu, Rachel and Leah, the most holy people. If they heard God said, what's the question? But this conversation has a whole different way about it. He didn't even mention that God spoke to him until the end. He first tells them that their father is not really treating him so well. He tells them how it's not really so good for them to live here because he's cheating them so many times. He defends himself that he worked very hard and was very honest. And only in the end, he says, and by the way, you know, God told me we should leave. So what do you think? What do you think? You're asking advice from your wives after God Himself told you to leave? That's a what do you think type of situation? Maybe when you're confused and you don't know where to go, you need to get advice. There's no clearer decision to make than this one. God Himself, without a messenger, God Himself told you, leave with a promise. What is the question here? What are you asking them? And then what's shocking, even more perhaps, then Yaakov's question is Rachel and Leah. Vatan Rachel veLeah. And they said, what do you think? We're expecting money from our father. He treats us like foreigners. He took our money. And then they say, Ve'ata, kol asher amar Elohim elecha aseh. They said, makes sense. What are we doing here? And now, whatever God told you, do it. Why they had to go and say that it makes sense? Who cares if it makes sense or not? So tell me, if Lavan was an honest guy, you wouldn't go? If Lavan treated you with complete compassion and love, all these years, so now you don't go? What's the message here? So one message clearly is that sometimes in life, even though Hashem said, a person is allowed to take what Hashem said and see that it's good for her. Of course, we have to follow God's ways no matter what. But it's okay, it's not wrong if a person is able to see that what Hashem said is also good. It doesn't have to be good to you. In your eyes, it could be you don't understand it. But if you can understand it and it makes sense to you, there's nothing wrong of showing how what Hashem wants is also good. There's nothing wrong with saying keeping Shabbat is awesome. Me and you on our own might have thought that's the wrong thing to say. Oh, you're keeping Shabbat and it's awesome? You keep Shabbat because Hashem said? Don't say Shabbat's awesome. That's not why you're doing it. So don't talk about it. From here we see it's not like that. If Hashem's mitzvot are indeed awesome, so you're allowed to talk about that. It doesn't mean you're deciding to do it or not to do it because it's awesome. But there's nothing wrong. And in fact, we see here how Yaakov and Leah and his wives are talking, that they're bringing out the beauty of this commandment. Yaakov is telling them why it's good to leave. It's not only God said. It's not only Hashem said to keep Shabbat. It's gorgeous to keep Shabbat. And they said, yes, you're right. It's beautiful to keep Shabbat. Of course we should keep it. That's what's going on here. They take Hashem's commandment and they show how beautiful it is. Again, me and you, without this, we may think that's not appropriate. Hashem is a commander. You do whatever he says. Don't start telling me why it's good. It's not up to you to say it's good. But from this, you see, it is something appropriate whenever it's appropriate. Not because you're doing it for that reason. Because you're bringing out the beauty and maybe it gives people strength. It is hard to move at the end of the day. These ladies have been living here all their life. Their family's here, their friends are here. They don't know any other place. To move is hard. So sometimes you need hizuk. Sometimes you need to feel, I'm doing good. Shabbat for someone who never kept Shabbat, it's hard to keep it. So sometimes you need a little strength. It's really beautiful. It is. That can help you do what Hashem says. That's what you see in this parasha. However, what Yaakov Avinu did to consult with his wives seems to be, in this situation, very inappropriate. So what if they said, we don't want to go? What do you think Yaakov would have done? If they said, we're not going. Sorry, Yaakov, we love you, Noel. We're not leaving. This is our home. This is my place. We're not going. What do you think he would have done? Is there a question that Yaakov Avinu would have followed the mitzvah of Hashem? Without a doubt, not a question. God told him to go, he's going. If they said we're going or we're not going, it makes no difference. They're all going. So why is he asking them both? For what reason does he have to ask them and explain it to them and show them the beauty of it and tell them, God, what reason? Here's an example of the chinuch of Yaakov Avinu and his relationships with his family. He knew 100% they need to go. It's not a question, and he's a melech. They're going. But asking what they think doesn't hurt. It only builds them up. It only shows them that you actually care about what they think. If they answered wrong, you're going to put them in their place and you're going to tell them why they're off and you're going anyway. But giving them the kavod, not to just to walk into the house and say, pack your bags.
We're out of here.
That means you don't care about them understanding. You don't care about them sharing and giving over what they think. Walk into the house and say, guys, what do you think? God told me we got to do this. Today, God's not telling you anything directly. But you come out and say, oh, the rabbi said we should do this. Guys, what do you think? You could have many cases like that in today's world where you know what you have to do, either from the book or from a rabbi or from wherever. Well, you come home and you say, what do you think? And you can even embellish the question by showing the beauty of the reality. If they get it wrong, so explain it to them. I hear you. I understand where you're coming from. But let me show you the other side. Now that was a mistake that you made. It's not like that. You thought like this. It's not like that. Whatever it is, however you have to explain and share. But you see from this parasha a great example of how you build people and you build their feelings of love received from you by giving them kavod of listening to their opinion. Even if you know what you're doing, you still want to engage them. On this subject, I once heard a most beautiful story. A very great man, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, to Gadol, great man in the last generation. And the story goes that a couple once came to visit him and they explained their situation at home. They had a child that was not so well. A special needs child. And they decided that the best place for their child is to be in a special school where he would have to live. Over there, away from home. And the question was, which one? So they came to ask the Rosh Yeshiva, what does he think? Should they send him? Where they should send him? So the rabbi says to the parents, have you asked your son?
He said, for us.
Where he would like to go? The parents were obviously shocked by such a question. And they explained to the rabbi what was obvious. Is that their son cannot be involved in this process. He doesn't have the capacity to understand. He's a special child. We're going to ask him what he thinks about this move. But the great rabbi was not moved by their reaction. And he told them, you're hurting your child. You're removing him from his home. You're placing him in a foreign environment. And you don't even consult with him. He's going to feel helpless. He's going to feel betrayed. He says, I want to talk to him. If you don't do it, I'll do it. Bring him to me. They quickly went home and brought the child to the great rabbi. The rabbi says to this child, he says, my name is Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. What's yours? Tells him, my name is Akiva. Akiva, says the great rabbi, I am one of the leading Torah sages in the world. And many people come to me to discuss their problems. For now, I need your help. He says, there's a school that I need to have someone in the school who's going to report to me on all important matters of Torah and Halakha. I need a representative in that school. And with my power, I want to appoint you as my representative in this school to report to me all the important things that are going on there. Any questions that come up, somebody has a question, I need you to be there. The boy is so excited. He can't wait. He went to the school as the representative of one of the great rabbis in the world. He loved being there, never wanted to leave. How could he leave? He has a very important job. He has to report back to the rabbi. That's a story for great people. But the idea is so simple that yes, you're sending him to the school. Yes, he's not capable of making the decision. But giving him the kavod of involving him some way, somehow, on his level, it's a connection of ahava. It shows his value, both from you and for himself. If a special needs child can be asked, who can't be asked? There are many situations where we can involve others in decisions that are relevant to them, especially if it's relevant to them. You can involve them even if it's not relevant to them. You come home on Shabbat and say there's something happened in shul. What do you think should be done in that situation? What's your opinion? Just ask. Hear somebody out. Of course, after you ask them, make sure you listen to the answer. One of the great ways to give people a feeling of ahava is by giving them the honor that their opinion matters. Even if you're the melech, and even if you may not follow, but just giving them that kavod builds their feeling of ahava that's coming from you. One of the great strategies of putting wool on the people that we care about. Have a good day.